Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Seven 20, and Joseph Lindsley sent us this piece of music from Ukraine. He's there, and Joe, tell us what we're listening to here.
Bob, well, it's hello from the Beeb. It's nice to hear that joyful song today. That's one of the traditional carols of Ukrainian Christmas. It means new joy arrives, and I think Ukrainian Christmas is almost like reading something from Charles Dickens. They still cling so well to their traditions, and I was here for Christmas last year, which of course is in January, both for the Orthodox and for the Greek Catholics, and so many people that you leave the city, you go back to the village, and there's about 3 days of feasting and music, and people, carolers, go from door to door singing these songs. So it's common for a family. You just walk into someone's house. You don't even have to knock. You come in, the whole family comes in with the kids. They sing some songs, and then people give them some food and drink, and then they go to the next house. And it's such as the rituals haven't been watered down or weakened, through hundreds of years. And a lot of these rituals and were developed and clung onto during years of oppression, especially here in Western Ukraine. You know, for 70 years, it was illegal to be Greek Catholic. It was illegal to have these traditions. And the Soviets tried to change the mentality to make people celebrate New Year's instead of Christmas. But especially in the sort of the wild west of Ukraine, in the mountains, they clung to these traditions. And so I very fondly remember last Christmas when we all knew, the whole world felt something bad was coming. We had all the warnings from Washington. You know, we could see on the satellite images the Russian troops lining up at the border. And so there was a sense of, you know, that this might be the last totally joyful time for a while. But it was I was in a little village outside of Lviv, and with some many friends who are great musicians, and from house to house with all the instruments, we walked through the snow, and it was a forge of joy, and really singing into the darkness of the winter, and in such a way that in a normal year, I think the Christmas year gives people energy for the year, but especially this most difficult year of 2022. And so now we're looking back at, the Christmas music is starting to return here. People sort of celebrate until February. I think we're going to need it. This morning was once again a major attack. At 8:30 this morning, there were nationwide air alarms throughout the country. And I was receiving texts at about 9:30, friends in Kharkiv, very, very short texts because they were under dire circumstances, saying, for example, Kharkiv is being heavily bombed right now. There's no electricity or water in the whole city. That was one of the reports I had. A lot of the details are still shaky. Even the Ukrainian trains, which have been, every day of the war running on time, many of them are delayed. The tracks have lost power. A friend in who's traveling from Kyiv to Kharkiv sent me a photo. They had to deboard the train in the snow and find ways to get to some shelter. And in the metro systems of Kyiv, and Kharkiv, they have no electricity. They're shut down. And all morning until the all-clear was issued at 12:15, many people were down in the shelters. So once again, we have a very significant Russian attack on Ukrainian infrastructure. According to the latest reports, there were 76 missiles fired this morning. 60 of them were shot down, but even those 16 caused significant damage. And I just saw a photo, a very haunting photo, a Wizz Air. Wizz Air is a Hungarian discount airline. A Wizz Air flight flying over Moldova, and the passengers from the plane looking north to Ukraine could see the explosions happening all over the country. And so this is a sign of how close this is to the rest of Europe, and what a violent morning it was here in Ukraine.
frightening. Yes, we're getting reports today, 9 power generation facilities damaged in airstrikes. Also in Kyiv, water supplies hit. So obviously the goal of the Russians is to really hit the infrastructure, civilians, and make it a terrible, cold, long winter.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, here in Lviv, I mean, many people without power. And as I was walking through the park today, there's new heating points set up. They call, as I mentioned, these points of invincibility or unbreakability for people who don't have power. They can go into these tents to get some heat to charge their devices. It's a cold, blustery day, and this is just still early on in this. So that's why I do think that that song you played at the beginning, I think there will, people are going to cling to these traditions even stronger as ways to get through this difficult time.
You know, when you were talking about those idyllic Dickensian scenes there, and it's a tale of two cities, isn't it? And then you have the back to reality reporting on the war and these missile strikes.
The war intensifies everything. I was talking with a friend yesterday. He works in IT. He's from a village that has been occupied since the summertime. And he said the war is sorting out for all of us what is right to chase in life. So everything becomes more intense, and the moments of celebration become more intense. Mm-hmm. There's no luxury to say, oh, I can think about these things later.
Yeah,
and
right.
This is the forge of making of human excellence in many ways, despite the horrible stuff.
Magnifies everything. Joe, maybe you can answer this question. Text from a listener. Hi, Bob. I need help donating to the Ukraine. I have 79 cans of 1-pound hams, and the Ukrainian Cultural Center stopped taking or sending donations because it's too expensive. Where can I donate them for the Ukraine? And then this person sent me a picture of all these cans of 1-pound hams. Is there a suggestion for what to do here, Joseph?
Yeah, let me confer with our many colleagues who work on getting food to people, and then I'll write to you, to the producers, Bob, and make sure, because that's always a, there's, you want to make sure that the donations are needed and they get to the right people. So I will talk with your producers and make sure we can find the right destination for that.
Great. We'll get this listener hooked up. And one more question for you, Joseph, that came in. Maybe you already covered this and I missed it. Does Joseph Lindsley speak the Ukrainian language? I'm so impressed he's able to communicate with Ukrainians and others from surrounding countries and share their stories. He's amazing in many ways. You speak a little, don't you?
Yeah, the Mohayot Sohavarete Ukrainskumova, Malo po Malo, little by little. It's a puzzle of a language, because every word changes based on its function in the sentence. So it's very difficult, but it's considered one of the three most melodic languages, along with Italian and French. I try to speak it, and I think even a lot of Ukrainians, especially in people like in cities like Kharkiv, they were speaking Russian, because that was Ukrainian was illegal during Soviet times in many places for a while, not the whole time, but now there's a renewed resurgence of the language even in Russian speaking cities here, and so I'm happy to try to be part of that.
Joseph, I hope you find some warmth over the weekend, and I'll look forward to checking in with you on Monday.
And don't put butts enough. Until then, that's a goodbye from Ukraine.
Appreciate that. Be well. Thank you.